Hey there, welcome to the High Five Podcast. Each episode, we count down our top five favorites in a different category, from movies and music to the totally random. Get ready to laugh and maybe even yell at our picks. Let's get into this week's High Five.
What's up, bro?
Nothing, man. Nothing at all.
Welcome back. How was your trip?
Yeah. It was really good. You know, it's always difficult to come back from them, but yeah, there's a lot of things that just kind of happened throughout the week that was kind of cool, and you know, like our plane ride down. I mean, our plane ride. I've never been on a plane so empty. I mean, it was crazy. Like, we could have easily each had our own row to ourselves, and there would have been several others still available. So that was kind of nice.
The airline?
And then on the way down, it was United.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So yeah, it was actually, that was kind of nice. But then, yeah, so we stayed at Port Orleans Riverside, which, you know, the rooms are a little small, but mm-hmm. you know, I actually really thought the resort itself was a great resort. Would be one I wouldn't mind going to if they maybe had a little, I don't know if they have suites or whatever, but a little more room would have been nice. But yeah, and then, you know, Epcot was great. It was cold. We left a little bit early, because by the time like the sun went down, it got pretty cold, and we didn't quite have warm enough stuff with us. So we left it probably, I think we left around 8:30, something like that. And then Magic Kingdom was the next day, and yeah, did everything we wanted to do, didn't miss anything. Got to see, yeah, both the parades. We were actually sitting at Tony's Town Square when the light parade went by, so got to sit inside, and it was warm, and it was perfect.
Cool.
So that was really cool, and then got like probably the best spot I've ever had for fireworks. And the show at night.
How'd you get those?
Like, just sheer luck.
You walked up at the right time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. We've done that a couple times. If you just walk up like literally 15 minutes before the show starts, they start backfilling standing room spots, and you can be
in
the middle.
we were probably, I don't know, 20 feet maybe away from like the Walt and Mickey statue.
Yeah. Yep.
Right there. So we were right there, had probably 10 feet between us and the people in front of us. So Reese could see everything. We could see, so that was, like I said, awesome. It was just sheer luck, and it worked out perfect.
Was it crowded?
So yeah. I mean, there was a decent amount of people, but I didn't think it was overly crowded. Like I said, I mean, there was a decent gap between, we kind of separated, we kind of put ourselves back a little bit, because we didn't want to be right on top of the other people, and we were totally fine. And there was a group that kind of gathered behind us, but they kept this 10-foot gap, which was, I was amazed. I thought people were going to fill it in, and they ended up not. So
that's a sign that it just wasn't as busy.
Yeah. So yeah, we got to ride everything, and then Hollywood Studios was great. I know we sent you the text. We were the first ones on the first ride of the day for Slinky Dog.
I don't think I've ever done that.
Well, it was crazy, because like we got, you know, obviously you get there a half hour early, being, you know, staying on property and stuff. And they were like, Slinky Dog is down. We don't know how long it's going to be till it's back up, yada, yada, yada. But we had lightning lanes for everything else. So we were like, there's really no reason for us to go somewhere else and try to get on something earlier.
Yeah.
But we didn't have a lightning lane for Slinky Dog, and we figured we probably wouldn't be able to get one, because it's so popular.
Yeah.
So we were like, well, let's just wait. So actually Jameson and Tori ran over and did, Smuggler's Run real quick. And then like they got back, and right as they walked up to us, they started testing it, and they opened it. Like, everybody had left. There was three, us and two families in front of us kind of stuck around. We were like, yeah, we don't have any, you know, we don't want to leave. This is the ride we want. Cause they kept going over the loudspeaker, like, please go to other things. We don't know how long this is going to be. This could take forever. Yeah, exactly. But then, yeah, they ran it, and we were on the first train of the fr which was
That's
kind of
cool.
cool. So we got to ride it, and it was a lot of fun, and got to see the new villain show, got to see the new Little Mermaid show, got to see Fantasmic finally. We've been to Hollywood Studios 4 times and have never seen Fantasmic, so we finally got to see that. So yeah, it was a
Was
great
it
trip.
cold?
Actually, that day was the nicest and warmest day of the week.
Okay.
Even at night, it was. I mean, it was a little chilly. I was in a t-shirt though, still, and I was fine. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And then we went to Olga's Cantina to close out the night. Unfortunately, it was a cheerleader weekend, so we had a lot of cheerleaders around.
Yes.
But it is what it is. So. Because we were kind of thinking we'd get out of Olga's Cantina and it'd be empty, you know, because we've done that before with you guys, and it's a lot of fun to kind of walk around. But I guess they did like a cheerleader night where they could stay till like 1 or 2. So we walked out and there's cheerleaders everywhere.
Wow.
So it was a little bit of a bummer, but
Gonna close this door here.
yeah, great trip. It's always hard to come back.
Yeah, especially to cold weather.
Yeah, for cold weather and work and emails and all, you know, just the normal day-to-day stuff that you got to get back to. So,
Yeah.
but
Yeah, which you
yep.
don't like staying too long because that stuff starts to build up, so.
Sure. Yeah. No, and actually I felt like this, out of all the trips we've been on, this was probably our best plan. Hang on. Our best planned and most laid out and most casual. Like we had a lot of time to kind of just hang out and chill and do a bunch of different stuff. I mean, we knocked a bunch of stuff off of the list that we hadn't done before. So, it was nice to not only go to the parks, but also do some of the other things at Disney that we hadn't done in the past. So,
Nice.
yep.
Yep, we're already counting down our next trip. I have a countdown on my phone.
Yeah, what? You only got a couple months, right?
48 days
Okay.
till spring break. We're gonna go to the madness of Disney at spring break, just
Oh, so
because.
this isn't. Aren't you going in May too, or no?
Yeah, we're going for Memorial Day. That's when we're bringing our niece.
Right.
So
Okay.
the one for spring break is actually going to be a split Disney and Epic Universe trip.
Nice.
We've
Okay.
not been to
Yeah.
Epic Universe yet.
Yeah, that's what we looked at doing for this one too, but we just decided Epic Universe was so expensive.
It is.
We were
It is.
like, we were just like, ah, we'd rather just go to Disney.
But everything I've heard of this, it's really cool. It's one that you have to experience at least once, I think. And I'll
Oh,
decide.
I agree 100%. We definitely need to go. I was just, yeah, I feel like if we go to Epic Universe, it almost has to be like an a universal trip.
Yeah.
You know, to really take full advantage of it. So,
Yep. I figured I kind of want to go just to kind of see it and kind of gauge what I want to go back and do more of. Kind of do like a preview trip sort of thing. That's kind of the
yeah,
way I'm viewing it.
got
Because
it.
otherwise I'll just be overwhelmed. It doesn't take much for me to get overwhelmed. So I think if I
Sure.
just do kind of a preview trip where I don't expect to really do everything and maybe not get to do all the cool things, I'll get to see everything at least and then kind of decide, okay, this is how we're going to really do it when we come back.
Yeah. Got it.
So that's I think
So, do
that's
you
what
guys have like the, are you doing like fast passes and stuff or whatever they call them at Universal, or are you just kind of going and checking it out and getting the lay of the land?
I think we get something because we're staying at one of the resorts.
Oh,
But
okay. Got it.
I don't know. I don't think they do that at Epic Universe. They do it at the two other parks, but because Epic Universe is so new, I don't think they're doing any of those perks yet. Or if they are, they're super expensive. So, if
They're
you're good
there.
to go, I'm good to go. All
I'm ready.
right. Hello and welcome back to the High Five Podcast, where we pick a topic each episode and draft our top five within that topic. And this week we are talking villains. This was your topic, Caleb. So why
It
are
was.
we picking villains?
So it really was top of mind, just because the week prior was we were headed to Disney and I was excited for the new villain show. And we've had villains on our list of topic ideas and just yeah, it
How
just
was
kind
the
of popped
show?
into my head. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good.
Who
I
won
know.
your, because it's always different.
Yep, Captain Hook.
Captain Hook won.
Yep. Reese was a little disappointed. She really wanted Maleficent. Who won for yours?
We've seen it twice now, and Captain Hook
Okay.
won one, and Maleficent won the other one.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think Reese really knew or knows who Cruella de Vil is. I don't think she's ever watched 101 Dalmatians, so she didn't really want that, but she really wanted Maleficent, and she was super bummed. She's like, because me, Tori, and Jameson all rooted for Hook, and she's like, "Come on, guys!" But I thought he was out of all the three was the best
The
one.
funniest and
But
the best
yeah, I
character.
thought the show's really cool. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. So just based on my excitement, I thought it'd be fun to kind of bring that back full circle and talk about villains. So.
So to you, what personifies a villain? Like in your list, as you were kind of coming up with your criteria and breaking it down and narrowing it down, what were some characteristics of your best villains? I mean, did you say best villains, favorite villains?
I would say for me when I did the list, it was like impactful villains, I guess, or villains that kind of were from either franchises that I really loved or characters that I really loved, or just like for me, villain, like the way it was portrayed really kind of creeped me out or gave me the heebie-jeebies, that kind of stuff.
Memorable.
So
Memorable in different ways.
yeah. Yeah. So I don't know if there is kind of like one characteristic that I look for or think of when I think of villains. I just think of maybe authenticity is one, or like just kind of lurking in the
Impactful.
shadows, creepy. Yeah, yeah. So kind of all that kind of stuff. So charismatic maybe would be a good way of putting it. So yeah, what about you?
All those things. I think the line about, just being impactful. Someone you're gonna walk away from that
Yeah.
screen remembering that character for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Because of how much you hated their actions, or because of how strong and imposing they were, or for whatever reason, there had to has to
Yeah.
be a reason. Their willingness to cross moral lines, just like all the reasons you would remember someone's actions or looks for being impactful. So,
Yeah, for sure.
yeah, so cool. So. Are your villains, were they born that way? Were they made that way? Or were they misunderstood? I think I have maybe some of each of those.
I would say, most of them are probably made that way.
Affected.
Whether through choices of their own or circumstances in which their life kind of unfolded. But I wouldn't say I don't think, I'm just trying to think of like my list and their history. I don't know if any of them were necessarily, maybe one of them was born that way, but I think most of them kind of made choices or life circumstance kind of led them down the dark path, if you
Yeah,
will.
that makes sense to me. I think I have some of those. Cool. All
Yeah.
right. Well, I think that warms us up with the topic. And like I said, since it was your topic, why don't you go first?
Yeah, so my number five is probably one that is again one of those memorable villains. I still remember where I was when I first saw the movie and when I first saw the villain appear in the movie. And it really kind of impacted that not only the viewing of that movie, but just kind of like, oh man, this guy's got something else going on, kind of that mysterious darkness, if you will. And my so my number five is Darth Maul from Star Wars, Phantom of the Menace, Clone Wars, Rebels, all that stuff.
Yeah, we kind of touched on Darth Maul when we were talking about our the songs that were the what was it, the movie songs?
Yeah, so I mean, so that, like I said, that scene alone, I mean, obviously, you know, he's introduced earlier in the movie, but that scene alone when he's kind of like, you know, all they're running away and all of a sudden there he is behind the big door and it's like, Bobo, you know, and he's there. It's just kind of that epic scene. And then, you know, slowly takes his hood off and then, you know, there he is.
He's mysterious and like, there's so much you don't know about him. He looks very scary and like imposing and
Yeah. And I just, I know I said this last week, but I just remember that scene. I remember watching it as a kid thinking, oh man, that's awesome. Like that's such a good, he looks cool. He looks badass. Like it just, it really kind of imprinted on me as a 13-year-old kid. And I just, I loved that character. I still love that character. I'm excited for the new Maul, movie that's coming out. You know, obviously Ray Parker, the actual Darth Maul in Phantom Menace was you know, where it all started for me, but I've definitely enjoyed the cartoon
Clone Wars
in Clone Wars and Rebels and that stuff. So have you seen, just a great character.
Have you seen the origin story in Clone Wars where you meet his brother and you meet like, was it the seven sisters or something like that that basically raised him and all that?
Yeah, I don't remember. I know I watched it. I don't I think I've only watched it once. I feel like I need to go through and watch Clone Wars again before
it's an interesting Maul comes story out. Arc. But
and that's where, you know, I'd said kind of, you know, his circumstance kind of led him into it. I don't think he was born that way. I think kind of, you know, circumstances led him to, you know, becoming this quote unquote evil character. Yeah. But you know, arguably you could say he is a little misunderstood to some extent.
Yeah.
But you know, he does obviously want to rule the galaxy as well. So that's always
motivations.
A good thing. So yeah.
Cool. All right. So that was your number five. Yep. My number five is one that kind of haunted me as a kid, you know, so it's from the movie Terminator 2 Judgment Day. I can't remember what year that came out, but I'm going to guess it was probably like 1990 something or 1990, you know, early 90s, because I just remember going to see this movie and the T-1000 is the advanced assassin made by Skynet. That is kind of the updated version of the Arnold Schwarzenegger character, where it's he's made of liquid metal and can shapeshift and can actually like copy people, like can actually like mimic a person, and so like all, you know, all the things that you would need in like a villain, like they can go anywhere. They can make themselves into whatever shape, and they're incredibly strong. And you can't blow them up. You shoot them with a shotgun, they just blow up, and then the liquid metal comes back and they reform.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the no mercy, the inability to kill it, the inevitability of it was just such a perfect sci-fi horror experience. The guy who played it was Robert Patrick, kind of to me a no-name character. That's the only actor or the only movie that I remember him in. But he was just so scary, so imposing, so memorable. Like I was saying, it was a good characteristic. But yeah, just loved.
It's because he just had like no emotion. He was just kind of like, he was just like dead set on the mission. Just go, go, go. No, yeah, yep, for sure. 1991, by the way, when it came out.
That was a good guess. Cool.
Yep.
Yep, so that's my number five, T-1000 from Terminator 2.
Yeah, great villain for sure. Yep.
All right,
I would say a lot of I would say a lot of the villains from Terminator, even
Yeah,
Terminator, like the
they made
first one,
good villains.
they do a good job
Yep.
for sure. Okay, so
What's
my
your
number
number four?
four. This might be the only character that was born evil, but I don't really know. I feel like this is the only character on my list that you could argue is just born evil, not necessarily chose or forced into it, or life circumstances, but just seems to be a psychopath. And it's Patrick Bateman, which is from the movie American Psycho,
I don't think I've
which
seen this. Tell me about it.
okay. So I think I'm trying to remember. So it came out in 2000. So I probably watched this. I didn't watch it in theaters. I know that because my mom would have never, ever in a million
Allowed it.
years, let me watch this movie in theaters. But I remember watching it with my older brother, and just being like, dude, it is. So he is like this really wealthy businessman. I think he's a stock trader. I can't even remember what his exact career
Wall
is.
Street investment banker is
There you go.
what
Yep, that's what I
ChatGPT
thought.
does.
Yep. So super, wealthy, like looks like you're kind of straight-laced, financier. But then he is just like extremely jealous, extremely psychotic, all about, image pro focused. And so he goes through and like anyone that, so like there's this one scene where it's like all about, and so like throughout the movie, there's this dialogue of him just in the background that you hear, kind of his thoughts as he's
Like a
processing the
monologue
day.
sort
And
of thing, yeah.
and there's this one scene where this guy has like a better business card than him, and it like sets him off, and he ends up killing the guy because he has a better business card.
Wow.
So like all of these things, and it's just like he just is like, even while he's killing these guys and murdering these people, he's just like, just the way that it's portrayed and acted really just kind of
And
stuck
this
with
is
me. Like
Christian
this
Bale,
dude,
right?
this is Christian
He
Bale.
makes such a good psycho person.
This is like his first major role. In fact, Jared Leto is
I
actually in
need to
this
see
movie
this.
really briefly.
Oh, really?
Reese Witherspoon, Willem Dafoe. So
I
Willem
definitely
Dafoe's
have
the
not seen
detective
this.
trying to figure out who's killing all of these people.
Yeah.
But it's just his portrayal is just so, it just made me shiver and tingle and like, oh my goodness, like it made me feel like he was a real psycho. Like it just, I mean the yeah, everything about it just really stuck with me and resonated. I just, Christian Bale's performance in this is, I think this is when I kind of fell in love with him. And obviously, him as Batman, I thought was incredible, but this acting alone is just remarkable. If you haven't seen it, it definitely, you should watch it. It's an interesting one. It's a deep dive into the human psyche, I guess. But yeah, it's a great movie, and he's a
I'm
great
intrigued.
villain. So, yeah.
Cool. All right, so that was your number four. Right, my number four, we're going back to the Star Wars well because that's what we do here. And this is Grand Admiral Thrawn. He's the blue guy that wears the white military dress outfit. And he is from Star Wars Rebels, the animated series, Ahsoka, the live action series that came out a couple years ago, and he's had multiple Star Wars novels. That's where the character came up is from the novels, and then got into some of the other things. But yeah, he's a Chiss. That's his, what do you call him? That's the type of alien he is. He's a,
Race, create, I don't
yeah,
know what
his
you, I don't know
race,
what you label that.
yeah, you'd say race, I guess. Is a there he's a
Species, is that a better
tactical,
term?
what was that?
I said species, is that a better term? I'm not
Species.
sure what
Sure,
that.
we'll call him a species. The Chiss. So he is a tactical genius. I think his species is maybe not more naturally intellectual or like just better tactically. But I think they all died. I think he's like one of the only ones that's alive of his species. But yeah, he's a genius. He works for the Galactic Empire, and he values order, efficiency, just strategic dominance above any emotion. He has zero emotion. He's basically a computer. He systematically dismantled rebel networks, used psychological warfare with surgical precision, and he sacrificed lives strategically for long-term victory. So he's just like he worked like a tactician. He worked by rules. It was very binary, yay, nay, no emotion, no gray area. So the person who plays this, who in the live action Ahsoka show was Lars Mikkelsen, and he played it just perfectly, like so just straight, so just cold, so just brilliant. But yeah. So yeah, I am not the most intellectual person. I am the person who follows their heart. I'm the person who follows their gut. And so this type of person scares me because they're looking at the statistical data and they know the exact best way, the most efficient way to do something. And so if I was going up against someone like Thrawn, this would be very scary because I'd know that he's going to tactically have the upper hand over me. So, yep, he's my number four,
Nice.
the blue guy,
I'm
Thrawn.
excited to see where they go with him in the Ahsoka series.
Yeah, well, I heard that they didn't recast Lars Mikkelsen, but I mean, I guess
Oh, really?
of all the characters, you can replace a blue guy with red eyes pretty easily because those are
I
the main
guess.
characteristics. But yep. So that was my number
Nice.
four. What's your number three, Caleb?
So my number three is a character that's been in a bunch of different stuff, from comic books to movies to TV shows. And specifically, it's the Joker from The Dark Knight. However, the Joker, like I still remember Jack Nicholas as Nichol or sorry, Jack Nicholson as the
Nicholson,
Joker when I was younger, and loved that portrayal. Mark Hamill obviously voiced him in the Joker cartoon series that I watched when I was younger as
I
well.
just
So
recently found that out. It's so crazy.
So I've always been a big fan of the Joker, but the best portrayal of the Joker, in my opinion, is Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight. I don't think it gets any better than that. Obviously, lots of others have tried, but I think he nails the character better than anyone else has been able to do. Just that character and that movie is just
Yeah, it's
chef's
chef's
kiss.
kiss.
It's so good.
Yep.
Obviously, he terrorizes Gotham and, is arguably Batman's most fearsome
Yeah.
compatriot, if you
His
will.
biggest foe. Yep.
But the Dark Knight and that Joker, when I watched that, I was blown away. I think it took the character to a new level, and the way that he kind of just was so perfect, and created Two-Face and the storyline and just the mystery behind him and everything. He kind of comes out of nowhere and takes over the whole city. And I just yeah it's just it's an incredible portrayal and a character that I've enjoyed in all of the variations. But yeah, Heath Ledger definitely is the best one
The
for sure.
best. Yep, agreed. Yep. Cool. All
No
right.
offense,
So,
Mark Hamill, sorry.
yeah, no offense. No offense, Luke Skywalker. So that was your number three. My number three is Joffrey Baratheon. Prince Joffrey. I think he might have even been King Joffrey for a little bit from the Game of Thrones. For me, the TV series, but that also was a book series. So he is basically raised in extreme privilege from royalty within Westeros. He was secretly the product of incest between Cersei and Jaime Lannister. But he they had to hide it because incest is bad. And so he got the name of Baratheon from, you know, obviously who the person who he was supposed to be fathered by was. But he was just this spoiled brat kid, unchecked cruelty, just zero accountability for this kid. Just, you know, snot note, like really like the Draco Malfoy type character. If you don't know Game of Thrones.
But worse.
But worse, but like that snotty-nosed kid who has all the wealth, all the wealths, all the privilege, and you know, just thinks that everything belongs to him. And in his case, it really did. So he ordered Ned Stark's execution, who was like one of the biggest characters in season one. And then at the end of the season, they off that character, and it was like, oh crap. Yeah. Game of Thrones they don't hold anybody sacred. And he was he publicly abused Sansa Stark, who the whole Stark family was kind of like, you know, your favorites, the, you know, the family that you kind of rooted for in the series. At least that's the way I kind of found myself. So he abused one of the most popular characters. And then he had people just tortured at his own whims. And he ruled entirely through fear as a child king. And so one of the craziest episodes was, what was it, when he got poisoned?
At the wedding.
What was that?
It was at his wedding, right?
It was at his wedding, yeah. And he drank some wine that had gotten switched. I think it was Sansa that gave it to him without him knowing, because like we said, he abused her. He ends up dying in the episode, and it was like the most, you know, you never wish for anybody to die, but you wanted
that to happen.
But when you saw Joffrey get poisoned, it was one of those exceptional moments where you're like, you know, you had it coming, buddy.
Yeah.
So he was portrayed by Jack Gleason. Again, you know, kind of a no name, probably more known in, you know, in England because of where he was from. But in fact, I read that he actually left school. He took some time off of school after playing this character because he was so like. It overhauled his whole life, and like people knew him by
It almost ruined his life.
Yeah. And so he had to like get out of the public eye for a while after he filmed Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Because he was Joffrey.
Yeah. But I mean, it speaks to his acting though. He did such a good job portraying that character. I mean, I don't think there was anyone that thought that's a good character. Yeah. You know, I mean, he did such a good job of making him a terrible, horrible person. So
he was terrible. Yep.
Yeah.
So that was my number three, Joffrey Baratheon.
Yeah. You feel bad for him as a human, but you also are like, man, that's what you get for being that good at acting, right?
So
my number two is kind of a throwback to my younger years, and probably the first real villain that I think kind of impacted me as a little kid. Yeah. So I would have been, I'm trying to, let me see, when did this movie come out?
94.
Came out in 94. So my number two is Scar from Lion King. I loved this movie growing up. It was my favorite animated movie. I watched it all of the time, hundreds of times. And I really liked the Scar character. Like yes, he was the bad guy, but part of it, you felt a little bad for him, you know?
How did he get to this? Yeah.
Yeah. It just was, you know, like, and I know obviously they've, you know, introduced the new movie where it's like young Scar and Mufasa. And all of that and kind of
have you seen it?
I have not. I wanted
it is
to.
Actually it is actually pretty good. It's got some banger songs on it too.
Yeah, I no, I definitely need to see it. But yeah. I've read about it and heard about it. That kind of explains more of the backstory on why, you know,
in
Scar
my mind,
is
this
evil,
is
if you will.
Better than the, you know, you call it the live action. You know, it's
yeah,
better than
sure.
the Lion King. If they came out with this first instead of even recreating the Lion King in live action,
yeah.
I would have been much happier. This is a better movie.
Yeah.
And I think because
yeah.
Lion King didn't do, I mean, it still made a lot of money, I think, but because
sure.
it kind of flopped, I don't think a lot of people watched the Mufasa one, which is a better movie.
Okay. Yeah. No, it's on my list. I just haven't watched it yet. But you know, just the idea of obviously, you know, that, the birthright was more or less Scar's, but it was taken
yeah.
by Mufasa, right? Isn't that kind of what comes out from that movie? To some extent.
Something like that. Yeah. Yep.
But anyway, so I just, you know, growing up, The Lion King, I like I said, I loved that movie. It was always fun. And he was kind of like the first real villain that kind of stuck
yep.
out in my mind when I was thinking about villains and kind of growing
yep.
up and where did that all come from? And he was the first one that popped into my mind. And, you know, I just love Jeremy Irons' voice in that,
oh,
too.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's so good. And,
yep.
I, you know,
just like
the
such
scene.
He plays such a good irritated character. Like, you are inconveniencing me. Why am I even
yeah.
here?
Yeah. And there's just, and you can tell there's a reason, like, you know, like we're talking about being born evil or kind of, you know, your circumstance kind of makes you evil. And I feel like he's a perfect example of, he wasn't born evil. It's kind of the circumstance kind of around him
yep.
made him maybe make some not great choices or was outcast. So
yep.
he didn't have much, you know, other options or whatever, or
yep.
other opportunities. So I you know, so even though he was the bad character, I always kind of felt a little bad for Scar and felt like he was a little misunderstood. So yeah, I just, you know, obviously murders Mufasa and convinces Simba that he's the reason that his dad dies, you know, which obviously isn't great. And then, you know, rules over Pride Rock for a while and basically destroys it. But yeah, I just, he was, like I said, the first kind of real character that I thought of when I thought of a bad guy. And I still enjoyed that character.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's good. That's a good one. It's on my short list that it fell off my list, but I love Scar. Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. So that was your number two.
Yep.
My number two is Agent Smith from the Matrix series.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of talked about, I mean, this was the Matrix Wake Up by Rage Against the Machine was one of
yeah.
my soundtrack songs. So we kind of talked about the Matrix, and I couldn't remember what the programs were called, but they're agent programs, and Agent yep. Smith is the lead of them, and they are basically designed in this world to maintain order within the Matrix. And he's a lot like T-1000, very robotic, very just has a job to do and is trying to do it. And, you know, the machines over time realize that humans are like a virus, and they decide that it's, you know, we are better off to be extinct. We're, you know, we're only going to create more and more problems. We just try to kill ourselves in the end. And so why not just cut to the chase? Let's just get rid of the humans. Yeah, just when I first saw these characters in just like T-1000, like, you could not get away from
yeah.
them. They knew all the loopholes. They knew how to switch between bodies to get closer to you, even though you threw a car at this other guy. And like, yeah, so just such a imposing like character
yeah.
that you just could not get away from. If they were looking for
yeah.
you, they could find you. So, yep.
Yep.
That's
Mr.
my number two.
Anderson.
Mr. Yeah. Anderson.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, just portrayal by Hugo is incredible.
Yeah, Hugo Weaving. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, that
By the way,
whole
I saw
opening scene in the first Matrix where where Neo, Keanu Reeves' character, gets the cell phone given to him in the office, and he's going out on the ledge, out on the building to get away from these guys, and like that was such an impactful sequence, that introduction to the agents.
It's Matrix is on my list to sit down and watch with Jameson, so I'm excited.
I own the trilogy on Blu-ray if you ever want to borrow it. But
I agree. Agent Smith is incredible bad guy for sure, or villain for sure. So.
All right. Well, we are on to our number ones, but I was thinking, since we have some voicemails, we've got four voicemails. I figured maybe we could play a couple now and then maybe play a couple after our number ones or something. How's that sound?
I
Cool.
mean, since you're gonna play these, just a reminder to everybody that they can, submit these by SpeakPipe at SpeakPipe/HiFiPodcast, or email us directly at thehifipodcast@gmail.com as well, or find us on Facebook, Instagram, all that fun stuff. So yeah, share your thoughts and ideas. We love to hear them.
Sweet. Thanks, Caleb. We're going to start off with our number one fan, Sarah,
All right.
and what her villain of choice is. Here's Sarah.
Hi there, Caleb and Jay. It's Sarah again. Jay asked me to name a couple of my favorite villains. I didn't overthink it. I just went with the first two names that came to mind. First up, Thanos the Titan from the Marvel Universe.
Thanos.
If you know about Marvel, you know about Thanos. The Avengers, the Infinity Stones, the Snap, the elimination of half of all of the life forms in the universe. He's the biggest mass murderer ever. He threw Gamora off a cliff on Vormir to get the Soul Stone, for fuck's sake. At the same time, he's a bit of a tragic character. He just wants to sit and watch the sunrise in peace. I still wasn't upset when he turned to dust at the end of Endgame.
No.
Good riddance, Thanos. But the biggest villain, from a pure evil standpoint, in my opinion, is Joffrey Baratheon from Game of Thrones. He's a pure psychopath, sadistic, heartless, needlessly and relentlessly cruel, just a horrible, nasty little rat with no redeeming qualities at all. Obviously, I can't get into all of his bad behavior, but his treatment of Sansa Stark is especially hard to stomach. He also had poor Ned Stark executed right in front of Sansa. When he bites it spectacularly via poison in season four, I screamed at the TV, "Take that, you fucking piece of shit!" And then I laughed hysterically. So endeth King Joffrey, first of his name.
There you
Yeah,
have
he's got
it.
to be probably the most hated character in TV history, I would imagine. Right?
Yeah, I would say so. All right, so that was Sarah. Thank you, Sarah, as always. Spot on point. All right, and we also have one from our buddy Rob. Let's hear from Rob.
Nice.
Hey guys, it's your old friend Rob. I have five choices per Jay's request. Number
Ooh,
five,
five.
Killmonger from the Black Panther film,
Killmonger.
portrayed by Michael
Ooh,
B.
good
Jordan.
one. Yep.
Great ideological villain because Killmonger is
Yep.
right, and he
Mm.
changes the hero as a result of the conflict, and
Yep.
Wakanda changes forever. So you
Great
gotta
choice.
respect that villain who had an equal and clear point of view. Number four, if I'm looking for a performative game type villain, I am going to list the cast of The Traitors, hosted by Alan Cumming. It's a great reality TV show, absolutely one of my favorite. I don't even like reality TV show. I certainly don't like The Housewives, but The Traitors have a lot of treachery and betrayal, particularly The Housewives. Number three, kind of related to The Housewives, if I was looking for a camp or operatic villain, I would go with Alexis Carrington from Dynasty. This iconic character was portrayed by Joan Collins in the 1980s soap opera. You got to give props to a good soap opera villain. Number four, or number two, if I was looking for kind of a symbolic or kind of like an archetype type villain, I would go with the Joker, specifically Mark Hamill's Joker from Batman and the Animated Series.
Ooh, even Mark
Great
Hamill.
foil to Batman,
It
everyone
is a
hates
great
him.
one.
And finally, if I was going to pick a real world villain, number one, Vladdy Poots. Vladdy Poots from the invasion of Ukraine, from meddling in the U.S. elections, and even Poland is now starting an investigation because they believe Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell were Kremlin plants. So Vladdy Poots is a bad, bad, bad dude.
He is a bad guy. Cool. Yep. Wow. Thanks. Thanks, Rob. That was a solid top five. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So
a quick top five too, man.
That yeah, was, he buzzed through it in a minute fast. And a half. I was like, how's he going to list all these five in a minute and a half? He did. He got through it. Cool. All right. So that leads us on to our number ones, Caleb. What was your number one?
So, when I thought of villain, I definitely didn't think of real life villains, although there are some real life villains that you could add for sure.
As Rob
Yeah, but this may come as no surprise to most listeners who have heard me or know me over the years, know that I'm a big Star Wars fan, and obviously the greatest villain in Star Wars history is Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Obviously the original trilogy, Rogue One, prequel trilogies, he's been in a lot of different stuff. Even his role in the Obi-Wan series has been awesome.
Yeah.
Obviously, growing up as a kid, I loved Darth Vader. I always thought he was a cool character. And then, from the prequels, learning his backstory and understanding kind of how he became who he became. And then even now with some of the other stuff where you kind of unpack even more layers, whether it's in Clone Wars or, like I said, the Obi-Wan series, I've always loved Darth Vader. He will always be one of my favorite characters, whether it's a villain or not. But I just, the voice of James Earl Jones obviously is just incredible. And there's just something about Darth Vader that has always been one of my favorites. I think he's a great villain. I do love the newer stuff of his just because, obviously graphics are better and all of that kind of stuff, but the way that they've kind of increased the way he battles and his strength and just all of that kind of stuff, his mythology has just grown even more. And I think is, I just think he's an incredible villain, and I don't know if you get any better than him. And, obviously we all know one of my favorite scenes is the end of Rogue One where you're kind of in this tunnel, like breathing heavy. And all of a sudden you see his red lightsaber turns on. And
it's the lead up to episode four. So you see him kicking some ass.
Yeah. It's just so good. And even, in the Obi-Wan series, when him and Obi-Wan are fighting, there's just such incredible stuff that they've been making with him. So. Yeah.
And I really think if they were smart, they have to cast him perfectly. And maybe they just use old what's his name who played Anakin. Why am I drawing a blank? But
Hayden Christensen.
Yep. Yeah, if they just cast Hayden Christensen, I think he would play it perfectly. They need to make a Darth Vader movie. Obviously you can't mess it up. You gotta do it well. It's gotta be a lot of what the Darth Vader lore is. It's gotta be a lot of that imposing, character. But I think there's some exciting things you could do with it, and people would just eat that up. In my mind, I don't know.
Yeah. But. Yeah, that's where, I always feel a little sacrilegious saying this, but sometimes I wish they would redo the original three with today's technology, because they could do so much better. Like that, the battle between Darth Vader and Obi-Wan in the original is a pretty lame lightsaber battle, but they could make it. I don't know if you've ever seen the AI created one or the ones, guys that have kind of redone it. And I'm like, dude, that would be so awesome if they could do that and do it well. Yeah. Yeah. Cause like you said, it just adds to that. It just adds to that, character and the mythology behind that character.
So. Yeah. Yep. Yep, that's a great one. I didn't even put him on my list because I knew you were going to rank him higher than me. So, My number one, I never really liked him when he was in the Avengers. He was kind of just like a side character, never kind of annoying character. But then when they gave him his own series, and he's kind of appeared in other MCU stuff since, Loki has become my favorite villain. He is the trickster god, you know, based on the mythology of Thor and Loki, and you know all those characters from Norse mythology, I believe it is, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So Loki is played by Tom Hiddleston. And he plays that character so perfectly. He's always up to something. He's always creating problems just for the sake of creating problems. You can never trust him. Even when he gives you every reason to trust him, he still does something because he's Loki. He cannot be completely ever straight. I love Loki. he's the villain that you kind of root for, though. And I think that's why he kind of shoots up that list for me too, is like you're rooting for him instead of, I mean, I guess you're rooting for Darth Vader too, because like you're trying to you know who he was, and you're trying to get him back to the light side, right? But love Loki. He is the perfect villain character for me. So
He's definitely a likable villain, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
Not like overly evil, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like still funny. Some redeeming quality. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he shows vulnerability, and like he, you know, he talks through and you know why he's insecure, you know why he's cruel, and he does the things he does. All right. Well, before we get into our honorable mentions, those were our top fives. Let's play two more voicemails. And we have here Scott, our buddy Scott.
Hey, guys. Scott Robertson, second time caller. Here's my list. I went too long the first time I tried. So Heath Ledger's Joker. Number one, go. Just amazing depiction of a classic villain with a lot of depth. Second one is Anton Chigurh from No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great
character. Real psychopath.
Psycho.
That's a creepy dude. My wild card is going to be The Nothing from The Neverending Story.
Oh, yeah.
Just, I remember just creeping me out.
Foreboding.
Just never knew what it looked like. It was just a void.
Yeah.
Next is going to be The Girl from The Ring.
Oh.
Probably the last horror movie I've ever watched. Still creeps me out. And finally, it's going to be Roy from the original Blade Runner. Definitely
I thought he was going to say from The Office.
But a tragic one at the end there.
Yeah, Blade Runner.
Thanks, guys. Hope you guys are doing well. Take care. Bye.
Cool. Thanks, Scott. Yeah, those are some good ones.
Yeah, I thought for sure he was going to say Roy from The Office. I don't know if you can label him as a villain, but kind of.
Kind of. That's funny. Cool.
Shout out to David Deadman.
All right, we got one more, and that's from my daughter Vivian.
Hey, guys. All right. It's me, Vivian. You might recognize my voice from the intro. Yes, that's me. Okay, so my favorite villain is Maleficent from Sleeping Beauty, because she's just like such a baddie, and like we love her. Yeah. And I can't be mad at her when she has that beautiful bird. Diablo. But anyway, she's just so amazing and we love her. I don't know why I don't hate her. She's like really evil, but she's my favorite. So, yeah. Bye.
Thanks, Vivian. Yep, Maleficent's always good. Yep.
Yep. Yeah, cool. That's a great villain for sure.
So those are all of our voicemails. What did you have for honorable mentions?
Yes, so I had Captain Hook, but specifically from the movie Hook.
Oh yeah.
What was it? Dennis, why can't I think of who played Hook? What's his name? Hang on.
He had the mustache, right? Oh,
I mean, yeah, I know. Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman, yes.
Couldn't think of his name. But yeah, I just so I like Hook as a character, even from you know the cartoon movie and all of that stuff. Yeah. But Hook, that was one of my another one of my favorite movies growing up, and I just thought Dustin Hoffman does a really good Captain Hook, and he was always one of my favorite characters in that. Another one from my childhood is Jafar from Aladdin. Yeah. Obviously, not a good guy, but a bad guy. But and then Agent Smith just got knocked off my list again. Yep. Great choice. Great villain. Great from a great franchise for sure. So. Yeah.
My honorable mentions. I had a few. Hail 9000 from 2001: A Space Odyssey. The computer, it's basically what AI is turning into with these
right robots. Exactly.
So we have to make sure we keep an eye on him. The other one I had was the Borg from Star Trek. It's it's like where this organism that just sucks people into it, and it's like this hive mind sort of situation, and their catchphrase was like, resistance is futile. Yeah, just this organism that would like lure you to it, and then next thing you know, you're part of this hive mind, and you're no longer part of you no longer have your individuality. You're part of this larger thing.
Yeah.
So that's obviously not good. I had Jafar also, and Captain Hook, for all the reasons. We love Captain Hook. I actually dressed up as Captain Hook for Halloween this year, so I love Captain Hook. And then, like Rob mentioned, Vladimir Putin, for all those reasons, just a bad person. But for my lists, I tried to keep things fictional. I just didn't want to talk about that stuff.
Yeah, sure.
But then also Donald J. Trump. Whether you love him or hate him, you have to admit he's kind of a villain because of the way he he goes after
not people. Kind of he is
the way he goes after people he doesn't agree with, and the way he trolls people, the way he just does things just to piss people off. That's the definition of a villain, whether you like him or hate him. That was a good nice. Topic. I enjoyed talking. Villainy? Yeah, that's the right word, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you got it. You got it. The art of villainy. Yep.
Cool. All right, so what should we talk about next week? It's my pick, since this one was yours. And if you're good with it, I kind of asked Katie what she thought would be a good topic. And she wants us to do parenting hacks. Those tricks of the trade, things I was kind of joking with you before, those things that we do to trick our kids into doing the things that we want them to do. So Katie said she wanted to hear two dads talk about parenting. She's like, she doesn't hear that enough. So, okay. Yeah. So, the little things parenting we do access. to be good parents. So,
buy Elf on the Shelf and threaten them that
exactly
they won't get Christmas presents.
Lie right? to them about Santa. Yeah. Cool. All right. So, like Caleb said earlier, you know how to reach out to us and send us your submissions or feedback or ideas for future episodes. Do those things. We enjoyed having you with us as we talked about villains today, and I hope everybody has a good week.
Yep, sure. Share your parenting hacks with us. Doesn't have to be just two dads, right?
That's right. Yep, that's right. All right. Well, we'll see you later, Caleb.
All right. Have a good night, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the High Five Podcast. We'd love to hear what your high fives would be or what you thought of ours. You can find us on Facebook or email us at thehighfivepodcast@gmail.com. Or just say hi if you know us in real life. And a big thank you to our friend Trevor Durheimer for the awesome intro and outro music. See you next time.